The thoughts I have for you today have been spurred by two incidents that have happened within the last year. The first happened right here in this auditorium a few months ago. The second happened at the Gregory meeting within the last 2 weeks. They were so identical in nature that it left me wondering just how vital and how important this issue should be to each one of us sitting here today. Before I share with you more details regarding each incident, I'd like to discuss just a few points with you. I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Got two more scriptures. They're all back to back. The second one is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brethren, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last one, again, is back in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now, we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. These scriptures are encouraging us to improve and increase in the good in our lives, so that the unnecessary will just not have room. Where am I right now? Perhaps at times you are like me. Perhaps you get in a long stage of just getting by. In fact, you might be really good at just getting by. And the question poses, is God satisfied with this state? Am I content with this condition I'm in? Things are always changing in our lives. Are we changing for the good and growing, or just letting things around us pass us by as we watch the world go by? It just seems to be a fact. It's more natural to lose vitality rather than to gain it as time passes. As we become older, and some of us are, we give greater attention to what we were rather than what we're becoming. If these natural tendencies occur, we can soon find ourselves in a spiritual slump. It can last any length of time. Sorry to say, it could last a lifetime. Sometimes I ask myself where I'm going. Sometimes I give the reply, I had no idea. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Galatians 6:9. We all know this. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. This is the interesting part. If we faint not, why do we get weary? Why do we bring a lot of things on ourselves? And sometimes we create our own weariness. We put too much non-essential into our lives. Do we periodically stop and analyze our priorities and make a real effort to change what is not useful and what's not needed? Will we be honest and have the courage to change our lives and our families' lives for the good? Are our busy lives filled with good things? Now the question is, what are good things? I'd like for you to mentally take a little trip with me. We're not going far. We're just going into the lobby. If we go into the lobby and we look on one bulletin board over here, we see a whole list of sister congregations. Congregations that we as a group have agreed to have association with. It has been a wonderful association. Men, along with other men, along with their families, have visited lots of congregations. We've met new people. We've gained a lot. We think they've gained a lot. And we love the association. Let's come on around to this other bulletin board. Thank you for whoever's doing all the bulletin boards. We've got some people there, some young people that we care about. We're trying to keep in some kind of contact with them, and we appreciate, especially a couple of them, the work that they're doing for our country. Their names are there. Their pictures are there. We can communicate with them. We can be interested in the things that are going on in their lives. As part of that section, we've got some people sending us some feedback into what's going on in their lives that we're supporting. We can read that and we can feel good in that we are helping spread the gospel, not only in other places such as Arizona, but other places of the world. They appreciate our support and we appreciate what they're doing. Now comes another section of pictures. We love to get together as a group. We love to get together as a family. We enjoy each other's company. We enjoy each other's fellowship. And the pictures are a sign of that. We move on around to another wall, and that wall is filled with memory verses. Things that we can take from the scripture, things that can improve our lives, things that we can memorize from the scripture and we can keep with us to think about at different times. Well, we go on down the steps, and there are some pictures of some people that have gotten together because of meetings that we've had. There's been a lot of work go into those meetings, a lot of effort. Brad Bratcher says, "My mind is full." I love this. "My mind is full, my stomach is full, my spirit is full, and I'm very happy." I'm glad that Brad and so many others have been able to be refreshed because of this group. My point? I could stand in the lobby with all of you and I could think wonderful works, and they are. It took effort, it took energy, it took caring and love for these to happen. We've got another meeting coming in September. We have another meeting for our young ladies coming in December. And then we have a 2-week meeting coming 2 years from now. Things to look forward to. I do not want to stand here and diminish anything that this loving, caring, wonderful group has done. But my point still remains for you and for me that Paul and Peter have told us, we encourage you to continue and to do even more, whether it be as a congregation or as an individual. Let me review. 2 Peter 5:11 again tells us, make every effort. Verse 8, abound. Verse 10, be all of you, be more eager. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, we instruct you how to live for God. Now that we've instructed you, we urge you to do this more and more. And in verse 9 and 10, they say, brotherly love. You're doing well with brotherly love. But what do they want? They suggest that we do this more and more. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That our love abound more and more, that we grow in knowledge, that we grow in depth of insight, that we grow in judgment, that we grow daily. Why does God ask us to do good and then want more? Well, for me, it's one page over. It's the second chapter of Philippians, chapter 2, and I'd like to read just 12 and 13. Therefore, he's talking to all of us, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, what a compliment. Not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. By increasing our lives for him, we will increase his opportunity to work through and in us. Then we, in turn, will be able to influence others for him through our lives. We must guard our lives so that goodness, things that we've mentioned just now, goodness, love, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly love, not be eroded away by opportunities that we miss due to lack of time, or in some cases, lack of caring. Can the things of the world melt your godly dedication? Are the pressures and habits of our daily lives waxing or diminishing our effectiveness to influence those around us to see Jesus in our lives? Just how do we rate our zeal for the Lord? How do we grow more effectively influencing others? How do we keep ourselves anew? We need to take a good look at what we do most of every day. We need to take a long look at our spiritual habits. Decide how we'd like to grow and be specific. Do we want to encourage others around us more with notes and emails, listening, spending time in hospitality? Do we want to be with our brethren more to worship, praise, edify, and learn and encourage both them and us? Well, we just need to make up our mind to grow and decide how we're going to accomplish it. Do not wait. Do not postpone. Never wait until it's more convenient. For me, it's never more convenient. When you make up your mind, do it now. If you want to be somewhere different tomorrow, we have to start moving in that direction today. That was part of the meeting that we had the last 2 weeks. I thought that was just excellent. Set time aside to restructure your day or week to incorporate the growth that's needed. Now is the time to find out whether you're committed to growing or not. Will we change our lifestyle when necessary to add more good to our lives? We need to be cognizant of what's unnecessary. Things that we recognize that are unnecessary, and then let them go. We need to expect to feel a pull, a desire to go back to the way things were. It won't be easy. And when Satan realizes that we're changing for the good, he will attack. But be strong in the Lord. He's there to help you. Pray. Pray. And pray. We need to develop, if we don't have it already, a passion for spiritual growth, a devotion to change, and a need for that change to be permanent. We want to be happier. We want to be healthier. We must feel a need, a desire to be holier. We need to make ourselves accountable. Hard to do. Did we or didn't we, and why? Christianity is called a spiritual walk. It's a walk we do each and every day. It makes us stable. As you accomplish each goal, your strength in the Lord will increase, so that, as Peter said, we'll be effective and productive Christians. Now back to the two instances that sparked my thoughts for today. The first occurred when Brandon surveyed our young adults regarding their thoughts of the family. Interestingly, it was one of the best attended sessions that we had on that wonderful group of Wednesday nights that we talked about the family. We all wanted to hear what our children had to say. The second instance happened during Rick's thoughts at the two-week meeting. Rick polled the young people for their thoughts on teenage concerns. We were all ears as to what they had to say. Then he came to question 9. As a teen, name some things that you see adults in the church do that are not consistent with what we teach or tell you. One of their answers echoed what we'd heard from Brandon weeks before. Apathy. Growing weary. Brethren, Paul and Peter and our own children are telling us that we're doing good, and they see that we're doing good, but all are telling us and encouraging us that we can do more. I don't believe, standing in that foyer, that the best is behind us. I think the best is still ahead. I think there are challenges that this group have ahead of them. There's opportunities that this group have ahead of them that are wonderful. Wonderful possibilities. But we're going to need to continue to grow. They want us to be stronger, and so do we. Time is a wasting with the business of life. It fools us into thinking that we're getting lots of things done. We are, of course, necessary and vital. So when we take the time to take account of what we've accomplished, And all we see behind us is the world's work so that it quickly becomes dust and is blown away. We then realize there must be something more than work, play, and me. We ascertain that we're not going forward. We're just going really fast in neutral. So this is the first week of August. Traditionally, these thoughts would come the first week of January. Not today. But if you see a real need for some spiritual growth that's going forward, instead of some worldly growth, which is possibly neutral, then think, pray, plan, and do. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The old saying goes, postpone not your life. Trust in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't let fear or worse time postpone you from the things God wants you to accomplish and grow in. We need to rid ourselves of time thieves. We know that all they'll do is rob and rob and rob, and in the end leave us with nothing. Yes, time will take everything, our godly family, our worldly family, our friends and our future, if we will let it. If the world, with all of its wants and desires, are starting to melt your spiritual fervor, if you realize that your zeal has been weakened, if the all has gone out of your love for God, then simply change. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Don't wait for the first of the year. Change, and change now. Experience gives us insight into knowledge. It is our responsibility to turn that into godly wisdom. Wisdom in action, godly wisdom in action, constitutes continual spiritual growth. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ.